Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, He wants to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be that. The Word of God tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now look, if you're in that lost category, something mighty can change in your life today, friend. If you just recognize that you're a sinner, if you are willing to repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior, hey, something that is eternal can happen to you by grace through faith today if you just simply put your trust in Christ. If you don't believe me, won't you ask a Philippian jailer, friend, that heard Paul and Silas sing and praise God and pray one night in a jail, that he was responsible for many, many souls. That's what we're going to look at in the book of Acts chapter 16. As soon as Debbie does the song that she's got queued up and tuned up and ready to go for us, hey, it's a great song. It's got a great message to it. The title of it is Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. Hey, listen, friend. The Bible tells us clearly and plainly in the book of Hebrews chapter 9:22, where he says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And I'm going to tell you the blood of the Lamb, we're talking about Jesus Christ now, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world. And His blood's either on your sins or on your hands. You'll have to decide about that. Well, glad you tuned in. Here's Debbie with the song, Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. I'll be back when she's done to preach the message God's laid on my heart out of the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. Enjoy.
Oh, I have been set free, and I will live eternally.
Well, I'm thankful for that Friend, listen. Salvation is free to me and you, to sinners who need to be saved by the grace of God. It is free, friend. I'm telling you, but it came at a great expense for God. It cost God His only begotten Son. It cost Christ His life. And both God the Father and God the Son were willing to make the sacrifice. Now listen to this. To save sinners like me and you. Now look, I'm serious in what God called me to do. I really, really am. And sir, I'm talking to you. Ma'am, I'm talking to you. You've got a soul that's going to exist somewhere in eternity. If you go to heaven, you'll be living. If you go to that place that's prepared for the devil and his angels, the Word of God refers to it. We refer to it as a place called hell. Christless eternity, you'll die for an eternity. Now, I've heard preachers say we'll live somewhere in eternity, and I understand what they're saying, but I want to emphasize the fact that, friend, if you're saved, you'll have eternal life. If you're lost, you'll have eternal death. You'll die for eternity, paying for your sins and never getting them paid for you. So here's what I encourage you to do. I encourage you today just simply to accept the work and the gift of God's grace that Christ made available through the life that He lived, the death that He died at Calvary, and the life that He now lives. And friend, I'll tell you, you'll never, never, never be sorry for that. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, I'm just going to get a verse or two out of this, and then I'm going to read it because I'm going to preach down through it and pick a few thoughts out of it. I want to read to you the greatest question and answer that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. Now, there are some as good, but you know what? When I'm preaching on something, when I'm reading on something, studying on something, it happens to be the greatest. So look, when they went and brought them out, it's talking about the jailer. The jailer brought Paul and Silas out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." I'm going to talk to you about this in the Philippian jail. You say, "What do you mean in the Philippian jail?" Well, there were several things that happened that night. Marvelous things, amazing things, supernatural things, wonderful things, eternal things, glorious things happened that night. And we're going to see what they were. How do you say, preacher, how in the world did Paul and Silas get in jail? Well, Paul, back in the beginning of this chapter, was seeking to find God's will, seeking to determine the direction that he ought to go to preach the gospel, to carry the good news of salvation by grace through faith to pagan people, to people that were lost and undone, people that needed to be saved, delivered from their sins, made new in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit in a dream came to Paul and he ended up in a place called Macedonia, where a city by the name of Philippi was, from the city of Philippi, it was a Roman colony, and I don't have to explain that. That's where we find a woman by the name of Lydia was saved, and a church was planted, and work for the glory of God began. But also in that city, there was a woman. There was a woman that was possessed by demons. And I'm telling you, she made her owners. Isn't that amazing? She was a slave, actually. She was a slave of man and a slave of Satan, a slave of demonic activity. And if you read down through, it's pretty amazing. Old Paul put up with it for a long time, and he got upset. And you know what he did? Man, he called on that demon to come out of that woman and to leave her alone. And boy, what he did, you're talking about causing an uproar, causing a stink in that city, especially when those men lost their way and means of livelihood. When that woman was delivered from that demonic possession and that demonic oppression and that demonic control, they weren't happy campers. But I'll tell you what she was. I believe the Apostle Paul was. And you know what happened? Paul and Silas got arrested. And that's where we're going to pick this up. We're going to pick this message up, friend, right down here to jail. You'd have never thought, friend, that all these great things that I'm going to talk to you about today could ever happen in a jail. But can I tell you something? They could happen in a better place. place than that. They could happen in your life, in your heart today, right where you're at. I don't care where God finds you. I don't care where this message finds you. I don't care where you're at, friend. I don't care your circumstances. I don't care what's going on around you. Listen, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. God sent His Spirit in the world to convict you. God sent His world, a word into this world to educate you and to warn you. And God sent vessels of clay like me, a friend, with a treasure to try to convince you of your need of Jesus Christ. And listen, when Paul and Silas got stuck by the Philippian jailer into the inner prison, and they had their feet were made fast in the stocks. Listen to what it said in verse 25. Hey, it's an amazing thing that we read. Listen, their back had been beaten. They were bloody. They were bruised. They had been humiliated. Listen, for doing God's will, for doing something that was wonderful, for doing what they were called to do, doing something that could have changed and would change the life of any man, woman, boy, or girl for eternity who would have listened to them. The Bible said in that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In that Philippian jail that night, there was worshiping. And that is something that is amazing. What in the world are they worshiping for, preacher? Well, they were worshiping that they had been found faithful to suffer for Christ. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that believers over time, over the millennium that have passed, over the centuries, the decades, the years, the months, the weeks, and the days, they have endured because they preached the gospel of the grace of God, because they were ambassadors of heaven, because, friend, they were obedient to their master. They had been saved. They had realized what it is to be delivered by the grace of God from their sins and from the punishment of them. And you know what they did? Hey, listen, they were commissioned to carry the word of God, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of full salvation, free, full, complete, divine deliverance from sin, from all of its aspects, both its penalty, its power, and its presence. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing. And yet they were taken prisoner. They were beaten and they were imprisoned. And oh, I'll just tell you the truth. Probably if it had been me in that jail, I'd have been doing a lot of things, but I doubt seriously that one of them would have been praising God and praying. Oh, I might have been praying. I might have been praying, friend, for God to deliver me, for God to heal me, for God to do all kinds of things. But they were worshiping God. Isn't that amazing in the midnight hour? But oh, let me emphasize something on that. You know what midnight represents, don't you? You know what midnight is, friend? It's the moment of a new beginning. Oh, one day has ended and a brand new day has begun. God. Hey, listen, sinner friend. Listen, sir, ma'am. I'm here to tell you that God has sent me away. How to tell you that you can have a new beginning right now. You can come to the end of something in your life. You can come to the end of an old life and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus, where to the point that all things are become old and all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, it's up to you. The opportunity is available today. The call's going out. Hey, God's speaking to you. God's working with you. The Holy Spirit is working on you. And boy, I'll tell you, I hope you heed to the call. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 26. Not only were they praying and singing praises, but the prisoners heard them. And watch this. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. You say, what was that, preacher? Well, in that Philippian jail, there was not only a worshiping but a manifesting. You say, what do you mean a manifesting? There was a manifestation of the power of God. Hey, Paul and Silas, here they were in a prison, in bonds, in chains, in fetters, and in shackles. They were physically restrained, but oh, thank God, their spirit was free. They had a heart, bless God, that was united with heaven. They lift their voices up in praise to the one that had bled and died and suffered for them on an old rugged cross. And they were worshiping Him for the fact that they were able to suffer for His name, because they released some bound up soul from the devil's clutches. Listen, sir, ma'am. There's some sin that's got you. There's some issue that's got you. And God wants you to realize He's got power to release you. He's got power to release, open the chains and the bonds that grip your heart, that grip your soul. Hey, God's able to manifest Himself like He did that day in the prison, where the foundations were shaken, where the doors were open, where the shackles fell off in an amazing way. And I don't know what's bound you down. I don't know what you're captive of, but thank God, by the gospel, by the power, listen, of an endless life, you can be set free. God will manifest His love and mercy and power to you. Listen to what the Word of God said in verse 27 and 8. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul, thank God for a man of God. Thank God for a Spirit-filled, God called and God sent, a man of God. But Paul cried with a loud voice and saying, do thyself no harm, because we are all here. In that Philippian jail that night, there was a rescuing. Hey, listen, the Philippian jailer got rescued. He wasn't in prison, but oh, I'll tell you what, as far as the physical prison was concerned, oh yeah, he was a custodian of it. I mean, to tell you, he was a head honcho of it. I mean, he was responsible for all the prisoners in it. He didn't have any shackles on. It looked like he was the only one free in that jail. But can I tell you, he was bound up in many ways. Oh, look, in every way he was bound more than what Paul and Silas. In fact, Paul and Silas were the two freest men in that jail, and they had been cast into the inner prison. Oh, look, listen, friend, I'm talking about what is maximum security. Do you hear me? But listen, oh, this Philippian jailer was rescued by a word from a man of God. Oh, listen, friend, you can be rescued today, sir, ma'am, from that addiction, from that act, from that habit, from that whatever it is. You can be set free today. Listen to what verse 29 says. And then he called for light, talking about the Philippian jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Can I tell you what you ought to do, sir? If you're lost and undone, you ought to look up. If you're lost and undone, you ought to look out toward eternity. If you're lost and undone, you ought to consider where you're going without Christ. I listen, friend, listen, that ought to make you tremble. If you're lost and undone, and you understand that the next thing in your life is to die, and after that, the judgment, and after that, an eternity, and you know where you're going to spend it. You know that you'll not be welcome. You know you'll be in that place of darkness, that region of the doomed and the damned. Oh, friend, listen, if I were you, I'd fall down trembling before God and say, oh, God, like the Philippian jailer did, what must I do to be saved? Listen to what the Word of God goes on to say. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and watch what else he did. And he brought them out and said, sirs, Oh, this is the greatest question that you can ask. What must I do to be saved? Unless you don't have to do some great act. You don't have to have some great amount of money. You don't have to do some great deed or do some pilgrimage or crawl on your knees on broken glass up the set of stairs. You don't have to do this or do that as far as the physical thing is. But you've got to realize you're a sinner, that you're a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. Maybe you're a good sinner, but you've got to realize you're a sinner. That's what the Word of God teaches. And listen to what the good news is. The question was asked by the jailer. Paul answered and he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Hey, listen, friend, wouldn't you like to take your kids to heaven? Don't you concern yourself about your children, your sons, your daughters, if you have any? Don't you worry maybe sometimes or think more about their future, about their eternity than you have yours? Hey, I'll tell you, the chances are way better if you lead them to the right place versus point them to the right place. And sure as a father, hey, God's made it this way. It's not a guarantee, but I'll tell you what, the likelihood goes up exponentially if you repent of your sin, if you receive by faith Christ as your Savior, if you start living the life that God has called you to. He's called you out of an old life into a new life. I'm telling you, friend, chances are your wife will follow you, and so will your children. Oh, listen to what the Word of God goes on to say. When we think about the delivering that there was, and they spake unto him the words of God, meaning Paul and Silas, to the jailer, and even to all that are in his house. And he took them the same night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? When they brought them into the house, he set before them and meat before them and rejoice. Listen now, believing in God with all his house. Listen, there could be a radical change happen in your life today. You see, there was a delivering going on. There was a trembling back in verse 29. That when you step out in verse 30 and 31, when the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? We ought to shake before God. We ought to tremble when we hear the Word of God. We ought to be upset and bless God, brought to our senses when we think about eternity and being lost forever and ever, in light of the fact that by the grace of God, heaven stands available to whosoever will. Listen, there was a delivering. That's the greatest deliverance I know. The deliverance from the penalty of sin. Deliverance from the power of sin. And one day, glory, hallelujah, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. How wonderful that is. And look at what the result was. The Bible said in verse 35, and when it was, the latter part of verse 34, I'm sorry, and they rejoiced believing in God with all his house. Hey, listen, you want to be a happy camper. Oh, you want to be a happy camper if you just go to the spout where the glory comes out. If you just go, friend, listen, and be washed by the blood of the Lamb. If you, by faith, would be willing to make a trip to Calvary, so to speak, see Jesus, God's only begotten Son, suspended between the heaven and the earth, nails in His hands and in His feet, a crown of thorns on His brow, His vestige or His appearance more marred than any man. And to see Him there on the cross, not only as your substitute, but as you. He not only died for you, sir. He not only died for you, ma'am, but He died as you. He bore your sins. He suffered your shame. He endured your separation from God. Oh, He took on Him all of your sins, my sins and the sins of all the world. And today, if when you see Him, you'll just fall before Him with a broken spirit, with a broken and a contrite heart, and say, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved, but I'm asking You right now, Father, in light of what Jesus did for sinners like me, would You save me? The best I know how, I repent of my sin. The best I know how, right now, I receive Christ as my Savior. And, oh, Lord, I want to thank You for saving me. I love You, and I thank You for loving me. Now, help me to live my life out for You here until I can live an eternal life with You there." Oh, look, friend, if you pray a prayer, just say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Just say, "God, save me." God knows what to do with the sinner that's calling upon Him. Hey, you'll never be sorry. There were some great things that happened down there in that Philippian jail that day, without a doubt. And there can be great things that happen to you this day in your life, in your heart, wherever you're at, sir, ma'am. If you'll just go to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Until the next time.
You are my Savior. You are my Savior, the Lord my Shepherd, and You are the soon and coming King, Jehovah Jireh, Lord God Almighty, Counselor and Prince of Peace. You are my Savior. You are my Savior. You are my Savior. You are my Savior.
Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind,
well, obviously, friend, I have messed up because I put the wrong song on for Exit. We're not beginning, but we're ending. So here we go again. When the time's up, I'll just cut it off. Thanks for tuning in. Do you hear? Hey, listen, thank you. God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.